The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Wednesday morning to you. This is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network. VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. And of course, Sirius XM channel 158. It's Gil Alexander. That right there is Kelly Bidlin, everybody.
Hey, yo, how we doing?
I'm good. It's happening. NBA draft. You got NBA draft fever?
I'm pumped, man. I am more excited about this draft than I have been the past couple years. I don't really know why.
You have more bets on it.
It's more bets, but then it's also the, I mean, we know how this works in the betting world. It's the fun, but also fear of being so aligned with so many other people.
Yeah.
And, I know we're going to get into it a lot today, but there were some trades yesterday that I don't know if they helped us out or not.
On the show today, by the way, Luke Swain to talk NBA draft with us momentarily. Will Hill, any bets he has, NBA draft, MLB and beyond. We'll talk Rocket Classic Golf as we go country clubbing. Dallin Cuff from ESPN, some NBA draft and soccer. And we got you covered NBA draft again with Zach Cohen. And maybe he's got some tennis, too, on the grass. Greatest two words in sports, Kelly. Bad Hamburg. That's going on in Germany.
Why don't they ever play it? Good Hamburg.
I know. People say game seven. I always go bad Hamburg. It's my thing. And we'll talk NFL. Most wins, fewest wins. We finally get around to this today. We were trying to do it earlier. We had other things we wanted to talk about. We'll get around to it today.
Hey, there's plenty of summer. We'll get to it when we get to it.
That's right. And I want to talk. I made a baseball bet. We'll get to momentarily as well. Great game this morning, which I want to talk about. But about those two NBA trades, the Celtics get rid of more salary. So Kristaps Porzingis, three-way deal, is dealt. Celtics now get under the what they call the second apron, which I hear people using. They never really explain it. Second apron, for those who don't know, is simply another level of tax. Another level where teams would have to pay above already a luxury tax. So Celtics are now below that. Celtics get George Niang, a second-round pick. Nets get Terrence Mann and the number 22 pick in this deal. And the Hawks are the recipients of Porzingis and a second-round pick. By the way, interestingly there, the Nets now have five first-round picks tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Was there something about this that said that might affect our bets, is what you're saying?
This one, I think the Pelicans-Wizards one may be a little bit more interesting because they pick one after another. We saw McCollum go get traded to the Wizards yesterday. I just have a hard time believing that those two teams had a conversation about a trade and there wasn't like a, hey, by the way, we picked right behind you. What are you doing with pick number six? So I don't know. We'll see, and I think there's plenty more to come today with some of these because there are teams. No, you kind of hit on mainly what I was thinking. Between Brooklyn, between Oklahoma City, a lot of these teams that we can see package a bunch of their picks together to move up, how does that possibly shift? Because we've been so focused on that 3-8 range, right? And it being wide open.
Hey, man, my draft comes down to if Con Knepel goes 4, good night, everybody. My work is done here.
I mean, I'm with you. That's the biggest position I have.
That's really all it comes down to. I don't really care what happens after that. Go top five, but if you go number four, there's your winner. There's your winning draft.
I did finally get a bet. I was able to. That Hawks trade came down though, Gil. You know I got a Hawks problem. I'm in. I got them. I beat the number move. So I grabbed a 55-1 on the Hawks to win the East when that news came down yesterday.
Oh, look at you.
East is wide open. I'm not saying this Hawks team is stacked or anything, but Jalen Johnson's awesome. He's going to be back healthy next year. You got Trae Young. You got Kristaps Porzingis. You got some pieces that you can build around that team. They could put up a fight. See what else they can do.
Boy, did we get the best of it with Knepel numbers. Even money to go top five. He's now like minus 1,000 to go top five or something like
that. Yes, sir.
And then to go fourth, exactly, he's minus 170.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
The best comment I heard about the Brewers. Where did I get the Brewers? The best comment I heard about the Wizards yesterday was someone put up a picture of Marcus Smart, CJ McCollum now, and Chris Middleton. And they said, look, it's an aging R&B band that lost its masters that still needs to tour. That's the greatest laugh. You are Washington Wizards, everybody. By the way, the terms of that deal, McCollum and Kelly Olynyk, your boy.
The clinic.
Second round pick go to the Wizards. Pelicans get Jordan Poole, Sadiq Bey, and the number 40 pick of the draft. And by the way, when Kelly sent us this this text yesterday that Sadiq Bey went to the Pelicans, it started, what would you say, a 5-hour childish thing for me, Felica, and Will.
That- I was telling Wyatt all about it before the show as I'm sitting there recording long shots, new long shots up now. And of course, halfway through long shots yesterday, my internet just completely crashed. So I'm sitting there at the desk getting frustrated as hell. And I'm like, don't worry, fellas. I'm still getting all these texts. Mm-hmm. No problem.
Yeah, we didn't learn our lesson. It basically started by me saying, Rafael Saadiq went to the Pelicans. And that was the end of that. All right. Baseball today. I don't usually talk about first of all, full day baseball. Love Wednesdays. Don't usually seize on a game this morning or any Wednesday morning. But I do this morning because 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Is it 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific? I believe I have those times correct. It is the Pirates going up against the Brewers. The only reason I mentioned this last night, speaking of NBA draft fever, did you have Chase Burns fever after last night?
Let's
with the
go.
Reds?
I did see a couple innings of it. 11:10 first pitch Pacific.
11:10 Pacific. That's right. 2:10 p.m. Eastern for the Pirates and Brewers, which we'll get to momentarily. But Chase Burns of the Reds yesterday against the Yankees, only pitcher last 50 years to strike out the first five batters he faced in his MLB debut. Ended up striking out 7 in 3 innings, and then he got in the fourth. Reds end up winning it in extras, 5-4. I believe it was an 11 or 12 last night where they won it in 5-4. Burns with that sort of sexy debut there, the first 3 innings anyway. He on the heels now. He's the shortest shot besides Jacob Mizurowski of the Brewers for National League Rookie of the Year, just like that. Burns was 100-1. Whew. A few days ago, before they said they were going to call him up, Will Hill got him at 100-1.
Oh, good for Will.
Listen, I don't know if 7 strikeouts in 3 innings before he got is going to get you an NL Rookie of the Year, but nonetheless, pretty good number, 100-1. But Mizurowski is the only one shorter. Actually, Drake Baldwin's actually shorter, according to this graphic. But Mizurowski is plus 150, and Mizurowski is plus 150 based on 11 innings of work where he has given up a grand total of 1 hit. Now, that hit was a home run against the Twinkies. Walner went deep on him. But Mizurowski, 11 innings pitched, 1 hit. Remember, he had a perfect game into the 7th before Walner of the Twins homered off of him his last outing. His first outing, he went 5 hits of no-hit ball before they pulled him. So he's taking on Paul Skenes today in the Brewers-Pirates matchup this morning. Skenes, he of the 1.85 ERA, the 175 batting average against, and the 0.88 whip. Cool whip.
Whip.
This is a coin toss. Really, just a coin flip here today in this ball game. The total, this is what I'm interested in. The total is, pardon me, 6.5. Now, the story with baseball totals is such that books are only willing to reduce it a certain amount. There is an artificial floor to totals in baseball. Even when, you know, Timmy Lincecum was taking on Doc Holliday in the, in the National League Division Series back in the day,
yep,
they would only bring it down a certain amount. And so, as bettors, if you are buying into Skenes and if you are buying into Mizurowski, know that that is not as low probably as it needs to be. Really depends on your conviction on the two hitters, but just wanted to throw that out there as a sort of baseball tenet. When this sort of thing happens, it's not like they're going to move it to 5.5.
So it's also the old, like when I used to bet baseball, Gil, like the automatic when you see a total that low is to go look at the run line of like catching plus 1.5. Like obviously the odds are adjusted there as well, but that plus 1.5 becomes so much more valuable, right? With every half run you go down.
Yeah. I did make a baseball wager yesterday, a futures play.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'll file it under the category of, you know, I just want to have this just in case. And this has to do with the National League MVP. Mark Borchardt came on here last week, and he said, "Yo, I got, I'm really about Ketel Marte." And I didn't really, you know, I was like, oh, okay, I'll get around to it. And Shohei, obviously, the favorite of the National League. Remember, we went through the whole thing yesterday about Aaron Judge and Cal Raleigh, and how some folks all of a sudden, because Cal Raleigh hit his 31st and 32nd homers the other night, were like, oh, Raleigh, all of a sudden, MVP. And I put up the slash numbers, and I'm like, oh, easy, everybody. Unless Raleigh does something absolutely ridiculous home run-wise, which is still possible, and Judge doesn't, maybe that's the path for Raleigh to get MVP. But otherwise, it's Judge all across the board. But I did mention yesterday, I go, but it does make me start to think about NL MVP again, which is to say that I do buy into the theory that if Shohei doesn't have some sort of standout pitching year that voters will take the opportunity to say, hey, you know what? We're going to have to give this guy MVP in subsequent years when he does have big pitching years to go along with his work at the plate, of course. So maybe this is the year where they go away from Shohei. And so I bet, not Starling Marte, we got the name wrong here. This is not Starling Marte of the Mets, guys. This is Ketel Marte of the Diamondbacks. Okay, I did not, let's just get that clear. I did not bet Starling Marte. I bet Ketel Marte of the Diamondbacks yesterday at 90-1. 90-1 at William Hill Caesars. And they took a bet, too. By the way, as it was spinning, I loudly was like, you know, as if the guy who's deciding it in upstairs or elsewhere in town could hear me. I'm like, this can't possibly win. It's going to be Shohei. Just give it to me. Why don't you give me double the amount?
There you go. Come on.
Anyway, Marte was hurt earlier this year. Hip, hamstring, he had an illness. So he's about 100 plate appearances behind both Shohei and Pete Crow Armstrong of the Cubbies. But when you look at the sort of on-pace stats or the ones that don't have to do with counting stats, I should say, OPS, Marte, 1.032, Otani, 1.014, Pete Crow Armstrong, 873. Weighted on base, WOBA, Marte, 437, Otani, 422, Pete Crow, 370. WAR, according to Fangraphs, Marte, 0.567, Pete Crow Armstrong, 0.513, Shohei, 0.5. The only thing that Shohei has Ketel Marte beaten is the pace of home runs. One home run every 13.5 plate appearances for Shohei. One home run every 15.3 plate appearances for Ketel Marte. Pete Crow worse than Marte on that. So I just want to have that 90-1 because if this just manifests the rest of the year, you never know. Coming back.
Numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusXM Channel 158. It's Gil Alexander. It's my little buddy Kelly Bidlin, everybody.
Hey.
Disappearing before our eyes. What are you down to?
Ooh, I don't even want to say it because I don't believe it.
Oh, really?
I don't believe it. 235 on the scale.
Oh my God, you are fast approaching.
Lowest I've been. I don't really believe that though. I feel like it's gonna be like 239 tomorrow.
Okay, well, still.
You never know. Water weight, right?
Dude, the 240s are in your rear view.
They're in the rear view for right now, yeah.
That's how you should look at it. You should be like, I never want to see that four ever again in my life.
The most upset I am about it is just that Turks and Caicos vacation. Oh boy. I can vacation hard, Gil, and I did. It was just daiquiris by the pool for 5 straight days. That threw on some weight afterward, that's for sure.
That will do it.
Yep.
Yeah. Let's talk some NBA draft, some more NBA draft. By the way, we will have Zach Cohen on later to do the same. We'll talk NFL most and fewest wins. I got some thoughts on that.
I got a bet.
Oh, do you?
Yes.
Oh, do you now? But let's talk some NBA draft, some soccer with one of these gentlemen who is busy, but yet somehow still makes the time for us, and we are appreciative. It's Dallin Cuff from ESPN. You can follow him on Twitter at DALENCUFF. Joining us now, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. How you doing, Dallin? Good to see you.
I'm doing very well. And guys, we never met in person. And Kelly, no. I didn't want to say it, but you look great, brother.
Thanks, man. I've
thought it before, but I just kept it to myself. You're doing amazing. Keep rolling.
I appreciate it. Everybody can compare it to the open that we run before the show every day.
Also, we put up that Oz Perlman thing when he came on our show, and you were double the size. Yeah. Like, that's where I really noticed. I'm like, good for you, man.
It's 80 pounds now.
Oof. 80. Whew.
Awesome.
That's good. Okay. Let's start with soccer. Let's get your soccer plays out of the way, because we've had some soccer guests on, Dallin, and I will be honest with you. This Club World Cup has really sort of flustered some folks. You do have a bet in this, though.
It's funny when you say it, the way you said this Club World Cup, like, what the hell are we doing here? Well, it's a great question. Yeah. FIFA and their money grab has been interesting. It has been weird trying to bet this and even watch it at times. The teams are invested because the program's telling them to be that way, because it's a it's a 9 million figure payout FIFA's giving whoever wins this thing. So they're invested in that regard. The players, it's a little bit different. The conditions have been awful at times, and I really like Fluminense today in their final group stage game. Now, that they want to win their group, because on the other side, whoever finishes second in that next group could be a much more advantageous opponent for them. They really were the better team versus Dortmund throughout the course of their opening match. They won their second match against a weaker opponent. They're playing a team from South Africa right now. The Brazilian teams, the South American teams, have fared pretty well in this in terms of form, the way they've looked. They're in the middle of their league season right now, early part of their league season. So they're fresh. A lot of the European clubs are playing, coming off brutal long campaigns. And they're also, from a weather standpoint, they are not adjusting well. We've heard all the European teams complaining about the situation they're going through with a lot of the with the heat, with the weather delays, all these different things. Well, this game, again, is going to be in Miami, I believe, we are playing today. And I do like Fluminense, even money for the Brazilian team. I think they win their group. I think they win today and move on to the next round.
All right. Fluminense, even money today in the Club World Cup. And you are right. I sort of, like, I said it carefully so that I wouldn't mess it up. Gold Cup. You have a futures play in the Gold Cup.
Man, this is where I get a little... Is my bias showing? Like, I love our red, white, and blue. I want them to be good, but guys, it's been a disaster. Like, they nobody's going to the games. Yeah. I'm not sure if these guys really... They want to win, the guys that are there, but they're not the most capable squad we ever have. We are on the side of the bracket with Canada. Canada's had our number. They have been better than us in the last couple times we played them. They've controlled games. I think they know who they are. Their Jesse Marsh has laid out the foundation of how they're going to play, who's going to be playing, and how they can beat the Americans. And they are not scared of beating us on our soil. They did it just a couple of weeks ago, and then a couple of months ago, I guess, in the Nations League. You have a situation too where we don't really have a home field advantage here right now. So I think the Canada's got great value on that side of the bracket. And this is the first time both the Gold Cup giants, if you will, Mexico and the U.S., seem very beatable, very beatable. So on the other side, Panama, who got to the Nations League final and eventually lost to Mexico in that game, I think they could have a chance, man, at plus 800. I like both those teams with just a little bit of value, maybe more of a sprinkle on Panama. I feel really good that Canada could get there, even without Alfonso Davies, who's out injured, and still win this thing. And I think that this tournament and these brackets have set up well for these quote-unquote underdogs. I don't think the USA deserves to be at that price. I understand why Mexico is, but again, both those teams who historically have dominated this competition, that is a thing of the past. I look at those two teams and good value for Panama and Canada.
All right, Canada 5-1, Panama 8-1. Always shop around, of course, for the CONCACAF Gold Cup. Let's go to the NBA draft, Alan. And I know you in your state don't have this available to you. We're hearing a lot of that, by the way, with the draft offerings. It's really a state-by-state situation, as many things are, but really specifically for this draft. Let me just ask you some broader questions about the players in here. One, what to do with Ace Bailey? Ace Bailey, Dylan Harper, both at Rutgers. The team didn't do anything, quite frankly, despite the talent. And now with Ace Bailey, you know, just refusing to work out, there's even, you know, he was listed also at 6'10", and these teams are finding out he's only like 6'7 and a half. There's all kinds of stuff. What do you do with a player like that? If you're Philly at three, or if you're any of these teams who are thinking, boy, but the talent is so tantalizingly good. Brooklyn has five picks. Maybe they trade up a package. Who knows? Who knows what teams are thinking? What do you do with a player like that if it's you making the decision?
There's a couple things here. You got to decouple him and Dylan Harper. They're two different players, and the fact they went to Rutgers together does not mean that one success is going to mean other one success or vice versa. I think Dylan's a lock at number two. We all realize that. He is a more dynamic player in terms of getting to the rim. I think he's got the pedigree in terms of his father and his brother. A very great dad was a great player. His brother's a very good player trying to make his way in the NBA. And I think that's a really good pick. With Ace, the upside, as you mentioned, tantalizing upside is there. The problem I would see is not that if you don't work out. I heard Billis say this the other day, and I was saying the other day too, about it's not about the not working out. I don't love that. I'm not a big fan of it. I'd rather see you go and compete. I want to be able to talk to you and engage with you and really lock in. If you don't do that, okay, fine. But I really don't like the lack of maturity, and I wonder who's managing him when you had everything set. Like, I mean, this thing with Philly was set, and there's man hours, there's people invested, there's all these things set up, and then you just eject. What's the situation there? Who's running the show? Are you mature enough to stand up to your handlers at times and say, no, I want to go do this. Like, this is what I should be doing. I really wonder. His game also requires the most maturation as well. So it's not just mentally where he is and physically as an 18-year-old, but it's his game has to develop. Like, he can make a lot of tough shots, not great at finishing at the rim. And I think you've got to be able to wonder about his body physically too. You mentioned the height about it, how much he develops, how much he fills out. And if he's ever committed on the other end, why Rutgers wasn't any good is not just because they had two lottery picks or two top five picks, potentially. They didn't really guard anybody, which is Steve Peichel's, you know, hallmark, and they didn't have enough money to pay for other good players. Well, these two, when they were on the court together, which wasn't that common because they were injured all the time, defensively, they just really didn't show up. And that's not unexpected of young players, but you want to see a guy that you're drafting in that regard be committed on both ends. I question his commitment, as I just said, in terms of understanding what's going on around him with the situation and his handlers, as I already said that. I question his game developing, and I question his ability to want to play on both sides of the ball. So when you're asking me all these things, I would not take him from the Sixers at three. I would probably lead toward VJ Edgecombe. Edgecombe is an outstanding athlete, like a freak athlete, a really good defender. His offensive game has to work, but you need an elite skill to really make it in the NBA. His ability to defend and his athleticism are two very elite skills that will allow him to contribute to a team right away. Is the upside what Ace Bailey's is? No. But I'm not sure Ace is going to get there. And he needs a runway of guys, I think like 2 or 3 years to really start to understand the NBA game, to really grow into his game, to develop more ability to finish at the rim and through contact. It's a lot of ifs for a guy that I don't think did himself any favors by, again, not just not working out, but when he pulled out and how he did it. I just don't love the process.
My favorite part of all that was how nonchalantly we can now say, and Rutgers didn't have enough money to pay any other player besides those two guys.
Yep. It is what it is, boys.
It is what it is now. Yeah. Okay, two more questions. One, best player, in your opinion, in the draft, not named Cooper Flagg, is?
Best player, who's got the best career?
Let's go best career.
Best career. I really do think, this is interesting. I think Con Knipple's going to have a fantastic NBA career. Now, is he going to be a stud? I think that maybe speaks more to the draft and me questioning some of the guys being an absolute stud. I think Cooper's a knockout. I think Dylan will get there too. I think Knipple's worth talking about in the fact that the guy can play in any way, shape, or form. He understands how to play. He's a really great shooter. He's got good physical size. He's a very good defender. I think everybody, he's not deceptively athletic. He's athletic. He simply is in the right spots at the right times. He's got good hands. He's got good feet. Does he need to work on some of his lateral quickness? Absolutely. But the guy's a good defender. He's a smart player. He can knock down shots. And when I say really good career, it's one of those guys that, is he going to be an all-star? I don't know. Probably not. But is he going to help you and contribute to winning for the next 10 to 15 years? Yeah. And I know he'll make hundreds of millions of dollars doing that. I feel very confident in that. That guy can play with the ball, without the ball, and do all these different things on both sides of the ball and just contribute to winning. And that's you look at these teams right now in the era that we've gone to in the NBA where the super teams don't exist anymore. It's what's the depth? What's the contribution? Where are we finding guys to come in and play specialized roles or really contribute in different ways where they don't have to be the star? You need those dudes. And he is one of those guys.
Just go four to Charlotte. It's all we want from a betting perspective, selfishly.
Yeah, that'd be nice. That'd be nice.
last thing, we got 30 seconds. Last thing, give me the non-lottery pick. Maybe it's a late first rounder. Maybe it's even an early second rounder. Who tomorrow everybody's going to say, steal of the draft is?
Maybe because I just want to know, Cedric Howard, I just want to know what's going to go on here. I think the guy's story is remarkable, but his skill set and his body and his physique, it reeks of a little bit of Jalen Williams. It has this feeling of he can impact the game in different ways. He is becoming an all-three-level scorer. He's been off the beaten path. I love guys with a chip on their shoulder that are out there to prove it, so that they are going to overcome the odds. And this is what I think this kid's about. I'm excited to see his development. I'm excited to see where he goes because I think he could go in the 20s. He could be like Jalen Williams. Remember, guys, he went in the lottery. Nobody thought that was going to happen. So I'm very excited to see where Coward ends up going and his career development.
Cedric Coward right now lined at 14.5 over under where he gets drafted. Dallin, really appreciate the time, man. Thank you so much.
Anytime, boys. Be well.
You too. Dallin Cuff, everybody. DallenCuff on the old Twitter machine, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. We'll come back. More draft and NFL next.
VSiN, the sports betting network.
Want to bet smarter this football season? VSiN Pro can help you start strong. Our new NFL betting guide comes out on Tuesday, July 1st. What is that? That is 6 days from now. And early access means a better shot at spotting value in futures markets before the lines move. Now's the perfect time to join with our football special. Just $175 for full VSiN Pro access from today through the Super Bowl. That's every sport we cover every day at a special early bird price. The sooner you sign up, the more you get out of it. You'll be first in line for our NFL betting guide, your playbook for the season, packed with team previews, power ratings, and season-long best bets. Plus, you'll get a daily best bets email from our expert hosts and guests, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, live and on-demand shows via the VSiN Watch app, full access to VSiN.com's analytics, tools, and pro systems. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe now and lock in the football special for just $175. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. By the way, correction from a Moneyline Marv. We were being stupid. Of course, the NBA luxury tax pool, we know this, split evenly among teams that stay under the cap that season. Kelly's not.
I also don't know what's happening with the like second apron, everything, where how all that money gets dispersed. Like, that's part of it. The biggest part of it. I don't know, though.
Well, we know this from baseball, too, which is his next point, which is some owners stay under just to collect the extra money.
Yeah, but they're also at a point now in the NBA, Zach will know this better than me, where you have to, there's a minimum that you have to spend, too. So there's that.
Oh, yes.
And the biggest thing, like, when you hear second apron, like you started talking about this earlier, just think about, we're getting close to the closest we've ever been in the NBA to a hard cap. So it has become so expensive for these owners to go into the luxury tax that's, when you hear the word second apron, just think the closest thing we have to a true hard cap in the NBA.
Just like that they kept the word apron alive. Don't really hear that word very much anymore.
Matt Brown texting into the show, by the way. I have to make a correction. Apparently, I said lock in when describing over the top. It was flip the switch is what Sly Stallone used to do when he turned the cap around and get ready for that.
Listen, if you mess up quotes from over the top, you know that Matt Brown is there to correct you.
He's here to correct me.
Yeah. Jason H11, leave it to Kelly to be a Falconer groupie. Oh, we've long established that as a Falconer groupie.
Kidding me?
Yeah, that's old news. Mike Goosh, coming to Vegas tomorrow for UFC 317 this weekend. Gil, Kelly, any reasonably, as in quotes, priced steakhouse you could recommend on or off the strip? Haven't been back to Vegas in over 15 years. Can't wait to check out Circa. Whoa, you're in for a treat. Herbs and Rye, off strip, reasonably priced? I don't know if it's reasonably priced.
I was going to say reasonably priced is tough, but this is the town with some of the best steakhouses in the world. I will always give a nod to Scotch 80 at the Palms, says my favorite steak in town. And you are off the strip at that point. It's my favorite steak, period, though.
Andiamo at the D. Andiamo at the D. I'll say that. Chris Heath, I need Samich to come on and give me the 4-year-old version on how to place this G-Bank first bet VSiN trifecta. We'll give you the details on that coming up. Zach Cohen is kind enough to join us, courtesy of Progressive Guest Line, part of the whole glue that holds this whole operation together. VSiN senior writer. Let's talk some NBA draft with Zach. How you doing, man?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Doing very well. How you feeling about your draft bets thus far? Are you feeling good? Are you a little antsy about them? What's going on?
I'm feeling good. I just feel like I've been so selective, and there was one yesterday that I wanted to bet today, and I just completely missed the boat on it. It was Johan Berenger under 17.5. I mentioned it in the article I did at VSiN.com. That's down to 14.5 now, and I just can't play it there. But he is definitely an intriguing player that I think a lot of, you know, smart teams are going to be, you know, maybe even moving up to try to get.
Luke Swain said him to go exactly 14th to the Spurs was his play at good bang for your buck. So right teetering on that 14.5.
Yeah, I have a feeling he might have had something to do with that draft position move in another, Zach.
Well, that's the thing, too, right? We discussed this a little bit yesterday or the day before, which is how liquid is this market even? And do we know what a line move even means? Or is that somebody like Luke who has a lot of people tailing him? That's all it takes. And I think it's that, right? So there's that going on. I don't know how much we can read into stuff. What is available right now that you would recommend, Zach?
I still think Noah Essengay to go top 10 or to go under 9.5 is the best play that's available. I just feel like there is so much there with the Raptors. He had a secret workout with Toronto. It's the only team he worked out for. They asked him what players he models his game after and tries to watch film on. He mentioned Scottie Barnes, Pascal Siakam, and Kawhi Leonard. So it almost feels like he's just watching Raptors tape. So I really think that there's something there with him going 9. And I also have heard him now linked to Phoenix at 10. So it really feels like that's kind of where he's going to go. And I wouldn't even be shocked if he goes to Brooklyn at 8, which is why I've stayed away from taking him at the exact position of 9. I just like him to go in the top 10 or go under 9.5. Under 9.5 is like plus 175. Top 10, I think, is minus 115.
Yeah, that's the bet that I only have the three bets. Kneppel top 5, Kneppel to go 4th, which again, CLV-wise is tremendous. We'll see if it actually manifests. The only other one is a saying, and I went over 9.5, but who knows?
I joined you yesterday, and not 20 minutes later, Zach sends me this video, and it's like, yeah, like Scottie Barnes, Kawhi Leonard, like what do all these guys have in common? Yeah, cool.
Do you feel like it is going, I mean, I guess a trade can blow this up, but if there is no trade, big if, it feels like it's Flagg, Harper, Edgecombe at 3, Knepel 4. You agree with that? And then what happens after that?
I don't know that I agree with that. I think that there could be some crazy stuff. I think Daryl Morey's a complete wild card at 3. Like, I know that Edgecombe's a player that we all think should go number 3. He's a really good defender. You know, he's probably going to fit in well next to Tyrese Maxey, but I wouldn't really be that stunned if you were to take Ace Bailey at 3 and just say, I don't care if you want to go to Washington, we're taking you here. I don't think it's crazy to think that he might take Trey Johnson at 3. And similarly with Charlotte at 4, if it is Edgecombe, I know that we all kind of think Knipple's the best fit there, but Trey Johnson is not, you know, this like ball hog type of player that we've all built him up to be. Like, he can be the knockdown shooter that Knipple is and just maybe offer some more upside. So I wouldn't be shocked if Johnson goes 4. I just think that there's a lot of uncertainty with this draft. And one of the plays that I'm kind of starting to talk myself into a little is Kamen Malawach to go over 8.5 at plus 200, which looked like a lock that at one point that he would go top 5, top 6. But I'm struggling to find the team now that's going to go out and grab a rim-protecting center when there are guys like Behringer, Thomas Sorber available a little bit later on. It's a really deep class with centers and with that type of center. So I've seen him linked a lot to New Orleans at 7. I'm not sure they're going to take him when they just took Yves Missi, who had a really good rookie season. And I'm not sure the Nets are in a position where they can take kind of a role-playing big man at 8. I think they need to swing a little bit bigger than that. So at plus 200 or so, I think Malawach to fall might be a good play.
Yeah, there's a couple things that what you were saying. One, the Ace Bailey still going 3rd thing is interesting because it's the NBA, because it's basketball. There is a scenario where, unlike in football, right, if you do dumb things before a draft, or if you are not easy, if you're difficult before a draft, in the NFL, you will fall by and large. In the NBA, it's so talent first, right, that it almost doesn't matter sometimes what you do. Maybe you're right. Maybe Daryl Morey at 3 is like, I don't care. He can call my mother names. I'm still drafting him at number 3. And the other thing with Malawach, which is interesting, Brooklyn, obviously now with 5 first round picks. The Brooklyn Nets could literally, starting with Malawach, that's what triggered in my head, they could literally draft their starting 5 tonight. That's how ridiculous having 5 picks is. Yeah. Now, maybe they package it and move up, but I mean, that's the position they're in. What's the scenario that ruins your draft? What's the worst thing that could happen to you and your bets?
I mean, I'm mostly invested in Essengay, so if he doesn't go top 10, I'll be hurt a little bit. And if Fears doesn't go top 5 now, because I had under 7.5, I got a little bit greedy, loaded up a little bit on the top 5, because I do think that there's a lot there with that Jazz at number 5 rumor. And I also think the Nets are maybe trying to kind of arm themselves with draft picks so that they can move up for Fears. If he doesn't go top 5 at this point, I won't win anything. If Essengay doesn't go top 10, I'll lose. So those are definitely the two. I don't have as much in this draft as I have in the past, although I will be looking for plays to add today, just kind of continuing to look at what Gavoni's reporting, continue to look at what Sam Vecenie has. Like, these guys are very plugged in. I would just continue to read that all day. I mean, yesterday, like I said, I wrote it up for VSiN.com. Behringer was out there under 17.5. Now it seems like, you know, all these guys are saying it's going to be 15 or earlier. That's why you're seeing it at 14.5 now.
Mm. Zach, what are you currently thinking on Murray Boyles? Because you're on his under, right?
Yeah, I have under 14.5 there. That's at 13.5 now. That might be enough of a move where I don't want to take it, although I'd still lean under there just because I do think that there's interest from Phoenix. I think I could see him in Portland. Like, that's the type of front office with Schmitz there that would value a player like him. He's very analytic friendly in the way that he contributes defensively. He doesn't shoot the ball well, but he is a productive offensive player. So I'd probably be looking at under there. And the other one that I do think is a little interesting, I'll mention, is Jaeger Demon in a matchup with Kasparis Jakučonis. I kind of like Demon to go first, which is like plus 170. I view them as very similar players, but Demon is just a little bit bigger, has a little bit more upside. I think that's like plus 170 right now. I don't really see the team for Jakučonis in the top 14.
I did not have an Egor Demon Kasparis Jakučonis matchup on my bingo card today, but here we are with the NBA draft.
NBA draft,
right now, Demon lined at 14.5. Jakučonis lined at 11.5. So Zach going the other way on that, going with Demon to be drafted first. Zach, enjoy the draft. I hope it is the first round, I should say. Yep. The second round, to be clear, is tomorrow night, televised for those who want to watch that.
Maybe more thoughts from Zach then.
Zach will be on with us tomorrow to talk NBA draft round 2, some Wimbledon, on the heels of our Wimbledon podcast and beyond. Thank you, Zach. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
Zach Cohen, everybody. At Betting on X. Coming back.